This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, October 9th, 2015. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, the Central Labour Federation in Tunisia shares the 2015 Nobel Peace Prize. Worldwide demonstrations in support of decent work. A New Zealand labour leader struggles with cancer while fighting for workers. And our Labour Start correspondent reports on union activities around the world. This is Radio Labour.
The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided that the Nobel Peace Prize for 2015 is to be awarded to the Tunisian National Dialogue Quartet for its decisive contribution to the building of a pluralistic democracy in Tunisia in the wake of the Jasmine Revolution of 2011. The National Dialogue Quartet has comprised four key organizations in the Tunisian civil society: the Tunisian General Labour Union, the Tunisian Confederation of Industry, Trade and Handicrafts, the Tunisian Human Rights League, and the Tunisian Order of Lawyers.
The most important organization within the quartet is the Tunisian General Labour Union, known by its French acronym UGTT. It was the UGTT that in 2011 quickly threw its support behind massive anti-government demonstrations and sparked a revolution in the country. That revolutionary spirit spread through neighboring countries such as Egypt and Libya. However, Egypt returned to military dictatorship and Libya fell into chaos. Tunisia, because of the UGTT and the other civil society groups which together have won the Nobel Peace Prize, kept the country together. The democracy plan they devised guaranteed respect for the rights of women and all workers. In 2013, the process almost fell apart in the face of terrorist attacks and a weak Islamist government. The president of the UGTT, Hussein Abbasi, as the de facto leader of the quartet, called all of the major political parties to a conference to plan a way forward for the country. To their surprise, Abbasi had set up television cameras in the conference room so that the various parties had to sign a declaration in front of the whole country that they would not back away from a roadmap to democracy that Abbasi gave them. When told of the Peace Prize, Mr. Abbasi immediately declared that it was the young people of the country who had brought Tunisia closer to democracy and deserved all the credit. October 7th was the World Day for Decent Work. The day was established by the International Labour Organization, the ILO, as a way to publicize the need for safe, secure, well-paid jobs. Every year, the International Trade Union Confederation organizes global demonstrations in support of the ILO's decent work agenda. The ITUC is the global body which represents national labor centers at the world level. The Director General of the ILO is Guy Ryder. Mr. Ryder is the first unionist to head the organization in its 96-year history. He was the General Secretary of the ITUC before becoming the Director General of the International Labor Organization. Mr. Ryder is especially concerned with the high rates of unemployment in the world.
The state of employment in the world is not great. We know, and the ILO has been emphasizing this for many years, unfortunately, that world unemployment is at extremely high levels. There's over 200 million people without work today. The bad news is it's getting worse, not better. On current growth trajectories, there's going to be more unemployed, not less, despite all of the talk of recovery in the global economy. But in addition to that, the crisis has still left a jobs gap of 61 million jobs worldwide. It's destroyed 61 million jobs, shared between people who are now unemployed and people who have just simply withdrawn from the labour market because they've given up hope. The notion that mass unemployment is an inevitability and we have to live with it is a mistaken idea. It would worry me in the first instance that governments, decision makers say, well, we do have to live with unemployment because we cannot do better. That you have to put to one side.
Sometimes, sadly, the true commitment of union leaders shines through best when they are faced with tough personal challenges. Radio Labour senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
A It's time to stand down, actually. I've done 8 years and our national conference is next week, and to stand again when I'm unwell would be irresponsible. I won't see out the term.
The president of the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions has announced that she will not run for another term at the council's upcoming Congress. Helen Kelly has been told she has lung cancer. She was diagnosed with the disease in February at the age of 50. She has never smoked. She told a gathering of people honoring her work that it would be irresponsible of her to run again because she won't live through another term. However, she said, she is full of plans to continue her fight for the country's working people.
Well, I guess my reflections are that things have got tougher and tougher for working people, despite what I think has been, an incredible effort of unions to try and reverse that. And, the powerful in this country, and we see it now with the Tally's company, the AFCO company, screwing down some very low-paid seasonal workers in some of our poorest towns, the power is completely imbalanced. And if that continues, then the future for working people is very, very grim. Unions are more important than ever. And I guess I feel confident that the Council of Trade Unions is in good nick. There's a hell of a lot more to do. Well, it's hard for me to tell what I'll be capable of doing. So, of course, it's very difficult to plan when you're terminally ill like me. But what I'm hoping to do is to do some work on equal pay. And there's a lot of opportunity from that court case to look at other workers, retail workers, clerical workers. They'll all have an equal pay claim. To look at the Education Act. I think it's being breached by the Ministry and the TEC in many different ways. Very little challenges. So I want to do some judicial work on the Education Act. That's where my heart is. So I'm not giving up the ghost. But obviously, depending on my health will depend how much I get done.
Ms. Kelly started off her career in the labour movement as an activist, protecting the rights of teachers. In 2007, she was elected president of New Zealand's Council of Trade Unions. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 4,500 stories that our volunteers collected since our last report. Last week, our top stories section included links to news about the end of a long dispute at the British Museum, the opening of nominations for the annual Arthur Svensson Award for trade union activism, and the escalating attack on labour rights in Iran. We also had coverage of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Retail workers in New Zealand began a wage dispute. Printers were locked out in Canada after they refused concessions. Plantation and temporary electricity workers in India were out. Amazon workers in Germany began a wage dispute, as did miners in Sierra Leone. Medical researchers and doctors in Kenya struck over unpaid wages. Food processing plant workers in the Philippines walked over wages and union recognition. In Pakistan, weavers left work on a long march to protest job losses, while municipal workers started a hunger strike after 17 months without a wage packet. In St. Lucia, there was a strike over wages by retail workers. And in India, electricity generation workers won their wage dispute and ended their strike. Our top working women's stories included coverage of American domestic workers' organizing efforts, the intensification of a women-only insurgency within the labor movement in southern India, and support from their union for organizing efforts by women miners in Mexico. Our health and safety newswire carried stories about the death of an ice bridge worker in Canada, the horrible working conditions endured by employees of Apple suppliers in China, and admissions by British construction companies that they have been blacklisting health and safety activists. Currently, Labour Start is running 7 online actions. All these campaigns are requested by and sponsored by unions around the world. Join us in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, mobile phones, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.